Welcome to the weekend edition of the Fast Five Business News by Fear and Greed. I'm Michael Thompson and hello, Sean Aylmer.
Hello, Michael.
Sean, on weekdays, it's all about the Fast Five, the top five business stories in 5 minutes. On the weekend, we still keep it to 5 minutes, of course, but we are going to pick out the biggest business story of the week, the most remarkable business story, a sleeper story, one that's kind of flying under the radar a little bit, and then our favourite story. Let's jump straight into it. What was the biggest story of the week?
Oh, those inflation figures during the week show that during the March quarter, inflation accelerated to a higher than expected 1%, up from 0.6% 3 months earlier. For the full year, it was 3.6%. The Reserve Bank's preferred measure, trimmed mean inflation, takes out all that volatile stuff. It was also up 1% for the quarter, 4% for the year. Basically, there were higher prices across the economy. All bets are now off for a rate cut this year. In fact, bond investors thought there was a 70% chance of a rate cut this year ahead of the release. Now they say there's a 6%. And in fact, some economists are even talking about a rate hike. Big news this week, Michael.
Yeah, certainly was. The other big story that really got a lot of attention this week, Sean, is about the fight Australia's having with Elon Musk, who's one of the richest, most powerful people in the world. It's about freedom of speech. It's about censorship. It's about all of that. At its core is an alleged act of terror. The stabbing of a bishop in Sydney's West happened during a live-streamed sermon. The videos that circulated on social media were violent and fueling tensions. Australia's e-safety commissioner instructed they be taken down. Elon Musk's ex refused. Eventually, finally, they complied with a court order, but the videos would stay in other markets. The politicians all just kind of laid into Elon Musk then. The Prime Minister described him as an arrogant billionaire. Others said we've had a gutful of these narcissistic billionaires who think they are above the law. What we're seeing here, though, Sean, is the latest clash between the government and the tech giants. We've seen one between Meta and the government over news. Now it's with X and the government over freedom of speech. These are stories that are not going away anytime soon.
I think you're right there. Michael, what about your most remarkable story for the week?
I think it's remarkable this week that not one but two sitting prime ministers trekked Kokoda together. We had our Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, and PNG Prime Minister James Marape doing a two-day hike. They then attended a dawn service for Anzac Day on the third day. Pretty remarkable because it's the first time a sitting Australian Prime Minister has done the trek. And as Albo pointed out, he couldn't think of a precedent where two world leaders have spent as much time together as he and Marape did during their trek. The other reason it's so remarkable is it's part of a significant diplomatic effort. Obviously, there's a very somber, very kind of meaningful reason for the trip, commemorating Anzac Day, but there's also a diplomatic element that Albo is shoring up our relationship with our nearest neighbour, considering China has spent so much time and so much money trying to establish relations in the region. What was your most remarkable?
BHP's bid for Anglo American, the UK-listed miner, $60 billion, biggest one in Australian corporate history. It will make the big Australian, which is already the biggest listed miner in the world, the biggest copper producer. It will also add to its coke and coal business and its iron ore in presence. It took investors by surprise. Now, if the deal was to go ahead, Anglo American would have to spin off its South African iron ore and platinum businesses. In the end, you'd end up with this massive company across Brazil, China, Peru, South Africa, Canada, the UK, Algeria, Trinidad and Tobago, Australia. It would have nickel, diamonds, iron ore, copper, potash, platinum. It would create an absolute mining powerhouse. Mostly for BHP, this is about copper. Previously, boss Mike Henry said he wants more copper. Last year, saying there was a $300 billion shortfall in investment in the commodity. That's what's driving this deal. And it's still a ways to go to get it across the line. Pretty remarkable, though.
Yeah, it certainly is. As you say, though, it is a long way to go, obviously, with Anglo-American rejecting the bid yesterday afternoon. But this might just be kind of the opening salvos from the company. So stand by, I imagine, for BHP's next move. What was the sleeper story this week?
How can an oil and gas company become carbon neutral? The answer is sleeping, as far as I can tell. How can a board and CEO still be confused why shareholders don't buy its climate action plan? Woodside is a great company. Great oil and gas company, but they are fossil fuels. Chair Richard Goyder and CEO Meg O'Neill says the companies could thrive through the energy transition and be part of the solution to climate change, but I have no idea how unless it fundamentally changes what it does. And it's still buying coal mines. In fact, it purchased BHP's oil and gas assets a little over 18 months ago. They've put out an 84-page report. It talks about carbon credits, carbon capture and storage, becoming more efficient. It's investing $5 billion over the next 6 years or so. Still, it's an oil and gas company, and that's really the sleeper part. Woodside and Mr. Goyder and Ms. O'Neill have this aspiration of becoming carbon neutral by 2050. No one really knows how they're going to get there, though, Michael. A sleeper to everyone, I think.
Yeah, I think you might be right there. Favorite story. Can I nominate a quick one for this one?
Sure.
It is the remarkably resilient Australian property market. Domain's latest house price report shows that across the country, the combined prices of houses and units hit a new high in the March quarter. We found this out this week. It is the fifth consecutive rise for houses, the fourth for units. Sydney house prices have hit a new record, with the average price in the city now above $1.6 million. For the first time, those COVID losses, it seems, are now officially gone. Great results too in Brisbane, Adelaide and Perth. Really, it is all about property. It has been for a long time. It continues to be. It's my favourite story of the week.
Yep, great story, Michael.
There we go. 5 minutes and pretty much everything you need to know in the world of business. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you, Michael.
We'll be back on Monday morning with the top five business stories in 5 minutes. Don't forget to hit follow and join us online on Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn, Facebook and X. I'm Michael Thompson and this is the Fast Five Business News by Fear and Greed.